By whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. When one of our soldiers steps off the airplane, he steps foot in Iran or Iraq, they're not real nervous about that one guy. That one man by himself is really no match for what's going on over there. But when they step off that plane, they don't step off that plane under the power of their own strength. They step off that plane with the power of the United States of America behind them. That the authority that they have when they stand there, not only does it come with the power that they have, but it comes from a power that is greater than them. You see, you've got to understand that when you begin to pray, it is not your power that is powerful. But you've got to understand that you are a child of the King. Jesus said, if I cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What was he saying? He was saying that the authority of that kingdom has stepped into your world and changed the circumstances of what's going on in this place. That when you step out in faith, it's not just you all by yourself, but it is the kingdom of God that goes with you. That when you begin to pray, it's not just some little simple prayer that you're praying, but it is literally the kingdom of God, an almighty, awesome God that steps out with you. That's why that song can say, when his kingdom shows up, everything changes. When his kingdom, when his authority, when his power, when his ability shows up, everything changes. Nothing is the same. It's just little old me. No, it's not. It's just little old me. No, it's not. You've got to understand that when you cry out, when you pray, something powerful happens. You're a part of something bigger than just you. You're a part of something bigger than just what little things you think are going on in your world, that you don't have a meaning, that you don't have a purpose, that you don't have a plan. You've got to understand that you are a part of a bigger kingdom. Yes. And you have the authority of that kingdom. You have the power of that kingdom. You have the ability of that kingdom. When you step out and you look at that devil that's coming against your family, it's not just little old you saying something. But when you point your finger, there's a big finger coming behind it that's saying, hey, this is my child. I'm standing with them. When the kingdom of God shows up, everything changes. You may be seated this morning. Goliath, he stood on that mountainside and he showed up and he began to mock and he began to laugh and he began to torment and he began to say all kinds of things about the children of Israel. He talked about their God. He talked about all the things that was going on. For 40 days he showed up and did this. For 40 days he would show up and he would make statements. For 40 days he would show up and he would mock and laugh at them. Several of the historical writers say that when this would happen, that they would stand on the hillside and not only would they make fun of them, but they would also make sure that they knew of their exploits. that the giants would stand there when a champion came forth, that not only would he make fun of them and try to taunt one of them out, but he would try to scare them and bring fear into their lives by the exploits that he had already done. They believe that the last time that Israel, that they can find in history, that Goliath might have been recorded in history, not in the Bible, but in history, was when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from Hophni and Phinehas. They believe that it might have been Goliath that literally was there, that was a part of that situation that happened. And as the last time they saw the Ark of the Covenant, it was being followed by a 9-foot man that was following a 9-foot man out of the valley. That they remember that sight. They remember that idea. They remember that vision. They heard the stories of this giant, this great man, this man of ability, this man that cut down Hophni and Phinehas himself, the priest of God. And so now they see this man, exploits of what he's done to this kingdom, and exploits of what he did to that kingdom, exploits of what he did to this champion, and exploits of what he did to that champion, reminding them of things that he had done, and letting them know that if any man had any kind of ability at all, and he thought that he could step out there and face this man, that their fate was going to be the same. That word champion in the Hebrew literally means the man that stands between, that stands in the middle. That the champion that stands in between you and your promise, the champion that stands in between you and what God is wanting to do in your life, the champion that stands in between what it is that where you are and where God wants you to be, the man that stands between, whatever it is, whatever the battle is, whatever the problem is, whatever the circumstance is, that it stands between you and what it is that God wants to do in your life. You look at the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city that was held by the Jebusites. Jerusalem was written about all the way back into Genesis. Several different kings they were called upon to fight the Israelites throughout time. And as we read about the Jebusites that held that fortress as Joshua came in, they defeated them somewhat. They ran them out. It was left up to the Benjamites to destroy them and to run them out of Jerusalem. And they got a little victory. They got enough victory to be satisfied with it. Have you ever gained enough ground that you're just satisfied with where you're at? This is better than it's ever been. This is good as it's ever been. I'm just satisfied with what God's doing in my life. I'm satisfied with the changes that I made. I'm satisfied with the amount of deliverance that I've received. I'm satisfied with the distance that I've come. That I'm a whole lot better off today than I was 3 years ago. So I can just be comfortable with where I am. They were comfortable with the Jebusites living around them. They ran them into the valleys, and that's as far as they ran them. They ran them up into the hills a little bit, but that was as far as they ran them. And over the course of time, over the years, all of a sudden the Jebusites begin to move back. They begin to make friends. They begin to become friendly. They begin to talk to them. They begin to see that maybe they weren't so bad. They begin to say, maybe that we could coexist together. Maybe that our lives and their lives aren't so different, even though they worship other gods, and maybe we can remotely coexist. And before long, you begin to see the Jebusites moving back into Jerusalem and coexisting with the Benjamites. The problem is you can't be satisfied with a partial victory. You can't be satisfied with just a piece of it. You can't be satisfied with just being better today than you were 3 years ago. You can't just be satisfied with, you've got to make up your mind, I want more. I've got to have more. I've got to go further. That I can't just have a partial deliverance. I need a whole deliverance. I can't just have my marriage kind of healed. I need an entire healing. I can't just have my children coming back to church once a month. I need to see them in an altar every Sunday. I can't just be satisfied with just something that at least there might be a resemblance of something good in my future. Well, it's a whole lot better now than it used to be. No, I'm not satisfied with a whole lot better now than it used to be. There's got to be something that says, I want a complete healing. I want a complete deliverance. I want all that God has for me. I want to see them come back to God fully. I want to see the whole miracle. But they were satisfied with just a piece of it. And the problem is they became satisfied. The scripture that we read this morning in Matthew, you read about it, it begins to talk about the strong man. It talks about how that if you don't bind the strong man, that he'll come back. See, you've got to understand that there's something about it that you can't just be satisfied with just a little bit of it. You need all of it. You've got to have complete victory. You've got to take it all. And so here they are as they're standing there, and the Benjamites move back into the city. They felt comfortable around them. They felt like they could coexist with them. They now control the city, so everything must be okay. But the problem is the enemy always has ulterior motives. The enemy always has an end plan that is death and destruction to your life and your family. The enemy always has a plan that is going to destroy and snuff out your life. The enemy is always trying to get a foothold. It's always trying to create a stronghold in your life. And so here they are. It just seemed peaceful. It seemed innocent. It seemed okay. It seemed like we could coexist with the enemy. The problem is that the enemy had ulterior motives. The enemy had an end game. It wasn't just to coexist. It was to destroy. It wasn't just to live in peace and relax and just think we're going on break. It was to run them out of their city and destroy them. And it wasn't before long that the Jebusites were more powerful than the Benjamites, and they ran them out of Jerusalem. And for 400 years, they controlled Jerusalem. For 400 years, they mocked and made fun. For 400 years, it didn't matter how much territory was taken in Judah, how much territory was taken in Hebron. There was a city that sat right smack dab in the middle of them that was owned by the Jebusites that they could not take. Multiple times, they went against it, and multiple times, they were defeated, and they left disgraced and ashamed because of what Jerusalem had done. As Goliath stood there that day and mocked and made fun of and laughed and said, oh, you can't defeat me. You can't get victory over me. There was a young man that stood in the crowd that he had victory. See, you've got to understand that you have to have victories in your life. You've got to understand that you can't just be satisfied, that there's got to be growth. There's got to be victory in your life, because there's coming a day there's going to be a bigger giant than you've ever faced before. And you've got to be able to reach back to an experience and say, you know what? I've got you, big boy. I'm going to get victory over you. I've got a trophy sitting at home that says I'm going to get victory, and I've got your number. Amen. David slew a lion and a bear. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but if he was any kind of man at all, you know those guys were sitting at the house. Every now and again, I just got to walk in my office and look at that bear on the wall and just remind him who Papa is. You know, we don't even have to talk about it today. You know. I imagine David could walk into that house. It didn't matter what he was going through, and he could go to his room, and he could grab that old pelt and shake it around a little bit and say, God gave me victory. I imagine he could grab that lion mane that he rent with his bare hands and he'd just shake it and look at it and see that part that was all tore apart where he saw where the hand of God was upon his life. See, you've got to understand that when David stepped out, what happened? The kingdom of God went with him. That when David looked at that bear and he stepped out, what happened? The kingdom of God went with him. When he saw that lion, he didn't get a slingshot out and hide behind a tree. The scripture says, he grabbed him with his bare hands and rent his mane. How did that happen? It wasn't his power. It was a power from upon high that he had joined himself with. It was a power that was associated with his life that he had submitted himself unto, that when he stepped out, the kingdom of God stepped out with him. And when he grabbed hold of that lion, it wasn't his power in his hands. It was the hands of God that wrapped around his hands and rent that lion's mane. So when that giant began to mock and laugh and everybody ran for the hills, and for 40 days he told them exploits of what he had done, David said, is there not a cause? David looked and said, why don't you just let me have a shot at him? Why don't you just let me get in the field and mix it up with him a little bit? What's the problem with everybody around here? What's going on? You see, he'd had past victories that gave him confidence that he could have future victories. He'd had past victories that reminded him that he had overcome the lion and the bear and that he could overcome this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine that the enemy had placed in his way. Everybody's telling him to go home. His brothers are mocking him. They're telling him that you just showed up to see a fight. You need to go back to daddy's house and watch the sheep. You won't listen to me. I'll go tell another group. Hey, if you'll give me a shot, I'll get victory out here today. You don't want to listen to me. I'll go tell another group. If you'll give me a shot, I'll walk into that field and I'll slay that giant today. You don't want to hear me. I'll go tell somebody else. And finally, the crowds begin to murmur and the people begin to talk. And finally, somebody went to Saul and said, there's a man outside here that says that he can defeat that giant for you. And Saul finally brought him in, and he looked at this young man that stood before him with no weaponry, with nothing there to offer in a battle, and he said, what are you going to do? He said, he gave me victory over the lion, and he gave me victory over the bear, and he's going to give me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine that keeps talking about my God and my country. Put a helmet on him, put a breastplate on him, gave him a sword, gave him a shield. He said, no, you don't understand. I can't use any of this stuff. I've never proved any of this stuff. I don't know anything about it. Saul was giving him his armor. Saul stood. He was a giant in his own right. It's like me putting clothes on Jackson. It's not going to fit. And he was trying to get David to fit into his armor and his stuff and everything that he had. And David said, you don't understand. I don't need all of this. I've got a power that goes with me. I've got an authority that walks with me. You don't understand. I walk in the power of a kingdom that you know nothing about. I walk in the power of a kingdom that you haven't exercised in a long time. And when he walked out on that battlefield and that giant looked at him and laughed and said, am I a dog that you send a boy to me? What is this? David smiled and said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the power of a kingdom that you don't know anything about. I come to you in the power of a kingdom that you have no fear of yet, but you're about to learn. I come to you in the power of a kingdom that you haven't experienced on this level just yet. And you can rest assured that today I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. There's something about it that you can get bold when you know who your daddy is. You can get bold when you know that you're a part of the kingdom of God. You can get bold when you understand that when you step out, God steps out with you. Amen. And he took his stone and he ran before towards the giant. And we know the story. He took that sling and he slung it and it caught him right in the head and sunk into his head, and he fell to the earth. And David didn't have a sword, so what did David do? He went and picked up the Goliath sword. See, Goliath was 9 feet tall. They said that his armor weighed anywhere from 150 to 200 pounds. I don't know how much that man weighed, but he was carrying some of you and some other people around just on the clothes that he was wearing. His sword, there's no telling how much his sword weighed. Some of the medieval swords could weigh anywhere to 50 pounds, those men that would wield them in medieval times. There's no telling how much this sword weighed as David picked that sword up and chopped off the head of Goliath. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. They had just experienced the kingdom of God. not the kingdom of Saul, not the power of the kingdom of the Philistines. They had just experienced the power of the kingdom of God as this ruddy little boy, shepherd boy, chopped the head off of a giant that not one man would step out onto the field and face. And all of a sudden, these men that hid in caves, these men that hid in trees, these men that had gone to the hilltops and watched over at a safe distance that they could run and escape from, begin to scream and holler and begin to run towards the battlefield. There's something about it when you realize that you're not alone, when you realize that the kingdom of God is with you, when you realize that His anointing is with you, when you realize that when you step out, He steps out. When you pray, His Spirit moves. It's not your spirit, it's His Spirit. It's not your power, it's His power. It's not your ability, it's His ability. See, some of you have already had great victories. Some of you have already had powerful and awesome things happen in your life. Some of you have had miracle signs and wonders that you could write books about it. You could write situations of things that have happened. You could tell stories of what God has done in your life. You could do it. There are things that God has done in your life. So what you've got to understand is you've already got power from experience. You've just got to go back and take hold of that experience. You've just got to go back and grab. Some of you need to sit down and begin to write. You need to begin to go each year of your life and begin to write things that God has done for you, things that God has delivered you from, things that God helped you through, things that God walked you through. And as you write, there's going to be something up inside of you that begins to rise up. There's going to be something that begins to say, you know what? I've got victory. I've got victory. I've got the kingdom of God behind me. I've got His power and His presence in my life. And the scripture says, David celebrated. And he went and threw a party. They put his name on a wall. And he just sat and hung out. And everything was great from that day forward. No. David just slew a giant. And the word of God says this. And the children of Israel returned. This is the 54th verse of 1 Samuel 17. It says, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and there spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Now we read that story and we see the victory. We see the giant that fell. We see the head that got cut off. We see the men coming down out of the mountains and beginning to run, and everybody celebrating. We see the party and everything that happens after the battle. We see all of this greatness that just happened, the victory that was just bestowed upon them. But the Word of God says that when David got done routing the enemy, he went and got him a trophy. And he picked that trophy up and he put it in his tent. And he said, I'm saving you for another day because I'm going to need to come back and grab hold of you one day because I'm going to need faith for my future. And then he turned around and he took that big old mammoth head of a man and he picked it up. I don't know, the next scripture says that he met with Saul, but before he met with Saul, the scripture says he took that head to Jerusalem. Now, you've got to understand that Jerusalem was over an 18-mile round trip away from where he was at that moment in time when the battle was fought. You've got to understand that it wasn't just over the next hillside that you just walk over and say, here we are, there it is. We're talking about somewhere that it was going to take some time for David to get to that place. It was going to take time for David to get to where he was going. David wrapped his hands through that big giant's long, nasty, greasy hair, and he picked up that huge head and he began to walk. blood began to drip down the side of his leg. I imagine it even began to fill up his sandal as he began to make his journey. People begin to ask, where is David at? Where is David going? We need to throw him on our shoulders. We need to celebrate. We need to have a big party. We need to bring him in before the king. We need to let everybody know who this young man is and what God just did. We need to find out. And where's David? What's David doing? Where's David going? Have y'all seen David? We couldn't get rid of him earlier. He was talking to everybody about how he's going to slay a giant. Now we can't even find the kid. He wouldn't shut up earlier, but now he can't even locate him. He wouldn't give it up earlier. He was everywhere and wouldn't be quiet. But now we can't even locate the young man. Where in the world did David go? They asked his brothers, where's your brother at? And I don't know. We haven't found him. We saw him come back to camp. We saw him as he walked through. We saw him as he gathered some stuff up. But we don't know where he is. We can't find him. He couldn't be located. The Bible doesn't say what David did with the head of Goliath. All it says is that he took the head of Goliath to Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem was still the Jebusite stronghold. Jerusalem was still the city where they stood on the walls and they cried out that bring your lame and we'll bring our lame and our sick and they shall laugh at you. You read in 2 Samuel 5 and 6, it says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. They're saying, David, you're never going to step foot in this city. You might be king of Hebron. You might be a king of Judea. You might have brought them together. You might think you're something special, but you're never going to set foot in this city. And in the 8th verse, he states, and David said on that day, whosoever getteth up under the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. See, you've got to understand that David just didn't have a little bit of frustration about that stronghold that was in the middle of his life. He hated it. He should have had a little bit more respect for the blame and the blind. The scripture says that David hated them, that his soul hated them, that when they would begin to mock and chant, there was something inside that drew up a hate inside of him that said, one day you're going to be mine. There was some. See, you've got to understand, we're not supposed to hate anything, but if there's something you can hate, you better take every opportunity to hate that stuff in your life. I know people that hate Chinese food and they don't want to be anywhere around it. You've got to make up your mind. I hate what Satan's doing in my life. I hate what he's doing in my family. I hate what he's trying to do in my church. I hate what he's doing in my marriage. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate his sound. I hate what comes on my TV. I hate what's on my radio. I hate him. That's what was inside of David. It was that hate. It was that anger that said, I want you to get inside of there and I want you to take all of them out. I'm tired of hearing about the lame and the blind that can protect this city. I hate it and I want it to be done. You see, David, 10 years earlier, had that head and he was walking. People walking by as he's walking down the road and they look. He's carrying the head of a man that nobody'd seen a head that big. Have to set it down and rest a while. He'd think a little bit and he'd shake his hand out. He'd pick it up with the left hand and he'd take off walking again. David, where are you going? I got something to take care of. I'm headed somewhere. David, how about we throw a party? How about we relax? How about we be satisfied with what's going on? Nope. Hold on. I'm going somewhere. I've got big plans. I've got something I've got to say. I've got something I got to tell somebody. I'll be back. I'll tell the king. I'll meet with him in a little while, but I've got something I've got to do first. And he took that head and he began to walk. 9 miles he made that journey one way as he began to make his way towards Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say what he did with that head when he got to Jerusalem, but I have a hard time not believing that he didn't walk up to that gate. He didn't look at that city and see the blind and the lame that mocked and rolled that head up against the front of that door and said, it might not be today, but there's coming a day that I'm coming back for you. I'm serving notice on you that God gave me victory over the lion. He gave me victory over the bear. He gave me victory over this giant. And there's coming a day in my future. I'm going to get victory over you. You're not going to mock me forever. You're not going to make fun of me forever. You're not just going to sit there and laugh at me forever. But I'm serving notice on you. There's coming a day that they're going to name you after me. You're going to be my city. You're going to be my home. You're going to be where I lay my head. You're going to be where I live. See, you've got to understand this morning, there isn't a person in this room that doesn't have enough victories in their past to understand, you know what? I'm moving with the kingdom of God. And so you know what, devil? I'm letting you know this morning, not by my power, but by his power, that you're coming down. Not by my power, but by the power that I travel with, that there's going to be victory. There's coming something that's going to change in my family and in my life. And in my future. Where are you going, David? I'm going to serve notice on something that's been bothering me a long time. David, let's go party. Nope. Tell the king I'll be back. I'll come back and meet with him. We got plenty of time. I got to do something with this right now. I'm serving notice on an enemy, a stronghold that's been a part of my world for longer than I can imagine. I've walked by that city and heard them laugh and mock from the wall side, and I didn't even have an army with me, and I wasn't even a threat. But what they don't know is they didn't know who they were making fun of, and they didn't know who they were messing with, and they didn't know the anointing that had been placed upon me. And they didn't understand that it wasn't just me by myself, but that I come with the kingdom. As we all stand as the musicians come. What's wrong, David? I got something that I hate in my life, and I'm serving notice on it. David, where are you going? I got something that I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm letting them know that it might not be today and it might not be tomorrow, but I want them to know that there's coming a day that they're going to name that city after me. You're mine. I'm just letting you know. Lord Jesus. Oh. There's cities that mock. There's strongholds in our lives that say we're not going anywhere. There's situations in our marriages and in our children and in our lives and in our hells that stronghold just cries out and says, nah, I'm right here. But Lord Jesus, this morning we're serving notice on some things. Because it's not just us, but it's the kingdom that comes with us. By myself, I have no power over that devil that's coming against my family. But you know what? The beauty of it is I'm not by myself. No, there's the kingdom of God that comes with us. Just a boy. No, it's not. It's the kingdom of God. It's just a mama. No, it's not. It's the kingdom of God. It's just a daddy that's worried about his children. No, it's not. It's the kingdom of God. Oh, they're only 14. They can't know. You don't understand. It's the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, you see every stronghold in this room. You see every enemy, every devil that would mock, laugh, and make fun. Lord, right now under the unction of the Holy Ghost, not under man's power, but God, under the power of your Holy Ghost, we begin to speak to those things that are in our lives. Oh, not under my power, because I have no power, but under the power of an almighty, awesome God, under his kingdom, under his flag, under his anointing. Oh, you can already hear it. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, you can already hear it. They're not coming home. You can already hear it. There's something inside that's getting a little excited, but there's something that's saying, oh, I've been here. I'm still going to be here. I want you to picture that thing right now where you sit. I want you to begin to envision that stronghold that's in your life right now where you're at. I want you to begin to think about that thing that binds your life or your marriage or your children or your mind or your health. I want you to begin to think about that thing that has mocked and laughed and scorned you and said, we'll bring the lame and the blind out. We've been here 400 years. Lord Jesus, you see every stronghold. You see every giant. You see every lion that roars and every bear that torments. God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that your faith would begin to rise in this place. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that your kingdom would come nigh unto us. I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that your power would begin to move in this place. I want you right now to begin to speak to that thing. I want you to begin to call it out right now. You know what? You're not going to bind my children forever, but I'm serving notice on you that I'm coming not in my own power, but in the kingdom of an almighty, awesome God. I want you to begin to speak to it right now. I want you to begin to get serious about it. As these altars are open, I want you to begin to gather around this altar, and I want you to come with a boldness. It's not just your prayer. It's not just your thoughts. It's not just your strength. It's not just your ability, but you're coming with the kingdom of an almighty, awesome God. You're coming with the kingdom of the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the ending. You're coming with an anointing that says, you know what, devil? You say that you're never leaving, but I'm serving notice on you. 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 I'm serving notice on you.
Shaking, chains are breaking. Let your kingdom come. The earth is shaking, chains are breaking. As your kingdom comes, let your kingdom come. Everything changes, everything changes. When your kingdom comes, let your kingdom come. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift
declare.
Your kingdom is here.
Oh, mountains
have to move. Every chain is loose. God, we declare,
oh,
Your kingdom is here. Everyone will see. Fall down at Your feet. God, we declare, Your kingdom is here.
Serving notice on you this morning. There's victory in the house. There's victory in the house. There's victory in the house. What are you doing? Serving notice. Where are you going, David? Don't worry about me. Got something I need to take care of. I'll be back in a little bit. Devil, you've mocked me for the last time. I don't know when God's going to do it, but I'm letting you know. Enjoy your time where you're at, because it's not long. You better live it up, because it's not long. In Jesus' name. David showed back up the next time to Jerusalem within the matter of minutes. David did what 400 years could not do. David, why don't you just celebrate the little victory you've already got? Nope, I'm already looking ahead, because I got some other things I'm not done with yet. You're coming down, Jerusalem. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Brother Ryan, if you wouldn't mind coming and standing down here in the front. Brother Ryan leaves Wednesday for the Middle East. He's going to feel devils he's never felt before. He's going to see things he's never seen. And we're going to pray that a kingdom goes with him that he's never quite felt before. And that he's never quite seen before. I'd like if y'all just gather around. We're going to pray for Brother Wing White right now. Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, God, that your hand and your anointing would rest heavily upon Brother Ryan Wing. That your power would go with him, oh God, that you would speak to him and that you would use him. Lord, that over the course of the next 2 weeks, oh God, that you would change his life. And that he would never be the same. Lord, that he would experience you and feel your power in ways that he has never experienced and felt your power before. And that there would be a hunger for more of you. Lord, that you would use him for the glory of your kingdom, oh God. Lord, that you would use him as he ministers, oh God, that you would give him the words to say, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to him, oh God, that you would lead him and guide him. Lord, I pray that you send angels with him right now. I pray that you protect his heart, his mind, and his soul. I pray, oh God, that you put a hedge of protection around him, Lord Jesus. That you protect his going and his coming home. I plead the blood over it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you want to give Brother Wing an offering to help in his endeavors, please feel free. A trip to the Middle East to do ministry is not cheap. Brother Wing could get a job right now making lots of money with his degree and his experience, but he wants what God wants for his life. He wants what God wants for his life. And I'm excited about what Jesus is doing in his life. And I thank him for allowing God to use him. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Don't let the devil get you down. You just let him know, devil, I've got victory. Devil, I'm serving notice on you. I've got victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we'll see you around here Wednesday night in Jesus' name. Remember Friday night youth service. Please come and support.